You can open your Bibles to Romans 15. Romans 15. I was visiting with Cheryl and Annette yesterday, and Casey and Clinton and Clover were there, and as I was leaving, we were talking about today and about the meal and all, and I said, I know a real good way to get a preacher in a lot of trouble in a hurry, and that's have a long sermon on the day you eat. So I will do my best to not do so today. But we're going to look at one verse, in fact, for our message today from Romans 15 and verse 13. Romans 15, verse 13. You'll follow along. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts this morning. We thank you so much for your presence in this place, for the music, Lord, and the singing, and prayers, and your word, all of which, Lord, you minister to us through and express your life and your goodness to us, your love. God, give us ears to hear from you this morning, that we may be built up in our faith and encouraged, and that you would be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name. The title of my sermon today is God of Hope. Now, Paul uses these terms to express the nature of God, or characteristics, or you might say the DNA of God. Earlier in the chapter, if I can find it, he calls God the God of comfort. And there it is in verse 5. Now may the God of patience and comfort. So there's three different things Paul has mentioned that are characteristic of God. And this one we focus on this morning is the characteristic, the DNA, the personality trait, the heart of God, which is hope. Now may the God of hope. And in a sense, this is a prayer. Paul is praying just as he's come to the conclusion of this particular section of Scripture and thought line that he's in. He speaks this little short prayer. Now, may the God of hope. Hope is something secure, something real. And Paul says now. Paul's not just praying a prayer about the future. He's not just praying someday, maybe so, pie in the sky, by and by. He says now, right here, right now. And whatever place or circumstance you find yourself in, if you can say it's now, then the God of hope is present. And this prayer applies. And you can pray this prayer, whatever moment you find yourself in. Now may the God of hope. This prayer is directed to and received from and built upon God Himself. He prays this prayer because our hope is in God Himself. It's not in circumstances, it's not in people, it's not in possessions. We have God. And our God is a God of hope. So because our God is a God of hope and He's our God, we have hope. Hope is something real. It's not imaginary, it's not maybe so, it's not simply a possibility. Not like a fellow I heard about who took his family and his mother-in-law on a trip to the Holy Land. And they did the tours and all of that and kind of wound down their trip. And his mother-in-law had an event, and she passed away. And right there in Jerusalem. And, of course, they were upset, and they already were getting ready to leave. And so the funeral director that he met with here at the hospital said, "Now, sir, I know you all are from America, and you're a long ways from home," he said, "but if you would like, we can bury your mother-in-law here for $150. Or we can have her sent back home with you for $5,000. And he didn't hesitate. He said, "We're taking her home." Which, you know, you might would expect, but the undertaker said, or funeral director said, "Sir, now that's a lot of difference. For just $150, you can have her buried here in the Holy Land. And you're willing to miss that opportunity and spend $5,000 all the way back home?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I heard about 2,000 years ago, it was a fellow died and got buried here, and he rose again, and I can't take that chance." Now, you mother-in-laws, forgive me. That's just some humor. And but he was in possibilities. Impossibilities are not hope. Hope is something that is steadfast and sure and settled. Paul says, "Now may the God of hope fill you." Fill you. The word that he uses here for fill, you remember when Jesus was on the shore of the Sea of Galilee preaching and teaching, and he asked Peter if he could use his boat for a pulpit and to push out a little ways where the people on the beach could hear him. And Peter did. And of course, you recall at the end of this sermon, he told Peter to launch out and to cast his net into the sea. And Peter said, "Man, we fished all night. We didn't catch anything. You're a preacher and a carpenter. But because you said so, I'll do it." And he does so. And what happens? Of course, you know the story. They caught so many fish, their nets were breaking. They called to James and John, who were in their boat on the shore, and tell them to come out there. And the Bible says that they nearly sunk the boats with fish. That's a lot of fish. But it literally says they filled the boats. And that's this idea that Paul has in mind. That word that he's using, filled to overflowing. More than you can contain. In fact, you're probably not filled until it's overflowing. And that's what Paul is praying. "Now may the God of hope fill you with He Himself." It's what God gives us. God gives us Himself. And having Him, we have hope. And that hope fills us. And that filling that He's filling us with is joy. And notice, by the way, it says fill you all, or fill you with all, excuse me, all joy and peace. It's not just a little, it's not just some for certain people. It's all joy and peace. That's the kingdom of God. Remember when we studied Romans 14, 17 says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not laws and rules and rituals and regulations. It's relationship with God, right relationship with God. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. And if you study those words through the New Testament, it's really interesting to find out how often peace and joy are in real close proximity to each other. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That peace, that righteousness that God gives us peace, gives us joy. And joy and peace goes together. Now, happiness won't give you peace because happiness is fleeting. Happiness is circumstantial. Happiness changes. It comes and it goes. But joy is not that, because joy is what we have in our relationship and our security that is in God. That's through Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, Paul says, therefore, having been justified by faith. Justified by faith. Well, to be justified, in a sense, is to be made righteous. To be made right. And that's what we are. Through Christ. We have, the rest of the verse, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You no longer have to live in fear. You no longer have that cloud of judgment hanging over your head because Christ took it on the cross and you are made the righteousness of God in Christ and have peace with God. You no longer have to expect or feel like judgment's coming because Christ has taken it in your place and justified you, made you just as if you'd never sinned. And in that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The rest of that verse says, through whom, that is through Christ, also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We stand in grace. Once we have been born again, once our sins have been forgiven, once we have been made right with God, we stand in grace. And the grace of God, which he told Paul, is sufficient. The grace of God is sufficient. The grace of God is enough for us. Whatever it is we need, whatever we face, wherever we are, and our weaknesses, our strengths, our failures, our victories, and all of it, the grace of God is where we stand, in which we stand and rejoice. There's joy again. In hope of the glory of God. Joy and peace. Because we've been made right with God, we have peace. And because we have peace knowing that we are right with God, we have joy. We can rejoice. We can have something within that's positive and powerful and not dependent on anything external. Doesn't mean you never be sad. It doesn't mean you never grieve. It doesn't mean you never have any problems. It just means there's something there that carries you, that has the touch of the life, or the spark, you might say, of God's life in your heart, of joy, of knowing that this is not all there is. This is not the end. This is not as good as it gets. Thank God. Amen. Hope. That's what we get out of all of that. Through faith. By the power of the Holy Spirit. By His presence in operation in our life. He says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. In believing. You see, that's where the battle comes down to, is believing. Will you trust? Will you believe? Will you have faith day in and day out? You don't have to have great faith. Now, there's some days I admit my faith's stronger and bigger and more present and prominent than it is at other days in my life. It's not how much, it's just having it. Didn't Jesus say faith as a grain of mustard seed? You can speak to a mountain. Faith is a powerful thing. And it's the vehicle in which God and we connect. It's simply trusting Him and choosing to keep on trusting Him. Whatever takes place, whatever comes, whatever we see, whatever goes on around us, because as I said, joy, the life of God is on the inside and it's not external and it's not affected by externals. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound. That you may abound in hope. That you may overflow in hope. People need hope. We need hope. You need hope. I need hope. Hope is essential to our lives. As we said in our communion devotion, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hoped for. Hope is solid. Hope is steadfast. Hope is confident, assured expectation. It is future. It is expectation. That's why we hope, like Paul said in another place, why would you hope for what you already have? He's not talking about what we already have. He's talking about hoping for where we're going. Hoping for what we're promised, whatever it is that He has promised us, personally, individually, or in our lives, or and in the future, in eternity. But hope is that. It's not maybe so. It's not I guess so. When people don't have hope, they get mean. They can be rude and ugly. They can say things that they shouldn't say. Like one story I heard, a child asked his father, "How were people born? Where did they come from?" So his father said, "Well, Adam and Eve had babies. Then their babies became adults and had babies, and so on." The child kind of cocked his head and took off. And then he went to his mother and asked her the same question. And she told him, "Well, we were monkeys. Then we evolved to become like we are now." The child ran back to his father and said, "You lied to me." His father replied, "No, your mom was talking about her side of the family." You can say things that people can be desperately and adversely affected without hope. Now, obviously, that didn't have to do with hope. But we must have hope. And Paul prays it, and God gives it. Because hope is not complaining or whining or self-pity. It's confident, assured expectation. Say, but what about all that we go through? What about the things that we face and we suffer? Well, if you go back to Romans 5, where we were earlier, verse 3 and 4, after he said we rejoice in hope of the glory of God, he says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope." You see, it's these things that we face in our life and that we choose to trust in God through, and in trusting in God through, we have that joy in our heart, even though things may not be joyous around us. And through the experience of that and seeing God's faithfulness, it builds something inside of us called character, something that's solid and real, a spiritual intestinal fortitude, you might say. And that character gives us hope. That experience of experiencing God's faithfulness over and over again, because instead of crying or whining or any of those kind of things and complaining, we choose to trust God and hold on to our hope and guard our heart and give God the opportunity and the time through faith to bring glory to His name and to show us His faithfulness. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound. More than enough. Just like those fish running over the edges of the boat. Abound in hope by the power, not your own. That's the wonderful thing about the gospel and the grace of God. It's not limited to your ability. It's not limited to your power or your strength, your faithfulness or your diligence or any of the rest of that. Now, obviously, God doesn't call us to laziness, but He knows us and He knows our need. And so He has given us His Holy Spirit, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not merely self-help. It's not positive thinking. It's the power of a person. Power of the Creator, who lives inside of you. Who lives inside of you. It's in this life and in this hope and in this faith and in this joy and in this peace that we are connected to God. The Holy Spirit is our connection between time and eternity, between heaven and earth. You see, wherever you are, whatever is taking place, you don't have to wait to die to access the kingdom of God, to experience His presence, to connect with heaven. Jesus didn't. He walked connected. He walked through the earth, or walked on the earth, worked with His hands, lived His life, did what you and I do, connected to heaven, connected to His Father by Holy Spirit, the Scripture says. For the Spirit was given to Him without measure. The Holy Spirit is in you. If you have come to Christ, if you are born again, if your sins are forgiven, if you belong to Jesus, then He has given you His Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives in your heart. The Holy of Holies of your being. Your spirit, your inner man. You can meet at any time and all the time with God the Holy Spirit and experience His glory. You can. Now and here. You can experience His glory. That which you hope for, you can have a foretaste of here and now. Now, it won't be in the measure that it will be. But you can. The glory of His unconditional, immeasurable love for you that never changes. That's a foretaste of your hope's fulfillment. Back in Romans 5, in verse 5, Paul says, now hope does not disappoint. Hope in God does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Through the presence, the ministry of the Holy Spirit and your relationship with Him, God's love is poured into your heart. And if you and I will learn to stop when things seem overwhelming or when we seem to be getting in that hopeless place, just stop and take a moment to remind ourselves of the love of God, of how much He loves us, of what the cross says about the love of God for you personally, individually, and the world. And take a moment or two and remember the faithfulness of God in your life at different times. Like that old song, Count Your Blessings. Angels will attend. Take the time to remind yourself of the faithfulness and love of God. You'll find your hope rising. You'll find the God of hope, whose seed is in you if you're born again, whose likeness, His DNA is there by the Holy Spirit, and you will find His hope rising in you because He is in you and with you and has promised He will never leave you nor forsake you. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for Your goodness and Your faithfulness. Thank You for this prayer of the Apostle Paul. And thank You, Lord, that there's not a prayer in this book, this Bible, that was prayed that You do not faithfully hear and fully intend to fulfill and answer. So, Lord, we receive that hope, that peace, that joy by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, not just a taste, not just a little bit, but overflowing, abounding, filling our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, if there's anyone listening today who doesn't know you, who has not experienced the forgiveness of their sins and said yes to Jesus and received him as their Savior and the Lord and found joy and peace and hope that's in him, Lord, we pray for them that they will say yes to you, turn to you with all their hearts. We thank you for that by faith in Jesus' name. Amen.